Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips of the PC. It is Saturday, the eve of Christmas, Anno Domini 2016, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing loose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news, and...
Here come the rumbles.
Here come the rumbles. We're going to start... with the traditional tasting of the rum balls.
Well, while you're doing that, I just realized one thing.
Yeah?
One, Rob's not going to be able to contact us unless he calls the station. I left my cell phone home.
Good for you.
Well, don't tell him that, then he'll call the station.
Ooh. I just don't answer because he comes up on the screen. So, yeah, he can't text me.
Yeah.
Because my phone is still...
Oh, he can text you at the text number.
Oh.
And it comes up on that.
Don't tell him.
No. No. Sorry, Rob.
You're not supposed to think of that, Nick.
Right.
Yeah.
You're supposed to think of that after the show.
Yeah.
So you got to tell me.
All right.
Like I said.
All right. Here well, you. They smell great.
Okay.
They feel nice and moist.
I'm getting a contact high over here.
Here we go.
It's okay?
Chocolatey, moist, chewy, rummy.
Okay. Like it's I couldn't tell because all this week when I was mixing.
Wow, here it comes. All righty then.
Dude.
Wow.
When I was making them.
And that was half of one.
I was starting to, I was coming down with a sinus infection. So I couldn't smell anything.
This will clear it up.
Yeah.
Good.
Holy moly.
Is that enough for a minute? I don't know. Let's add some more.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I can't taste it yet. Let's add some more.
Folks will always say, well, how much rum do you put in it? I go, well, it calls for this much. Is that what you put in? Yeah, well, let's put it this way.
Yes, I do put that much in.
At least that much, and the bottle keeps going for a little bit.
Yeah,
what
right.
could I say?
Exactly. Oh, my golly, that was tasty.
Oh, my
wow.
gosh, my golly.
All right, folks.
And rum balls.
Rum balls, exactly. All right.
Be warned, I might sing again.
Yeah. And he hasn't even had a rum ball yet.
Make a donation or I'll sing again.
No, make a donation and we can also send him the recipe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Anybody who makes a donation, and you can do that online at 585-966-5299. No, that's the number to call if you want to make a donation.
Yeah.
If you want to pledge online, it's jazz901.org. And after Christmas, we'll put together a list of all the people who
want to do it, and I'll send it on out to them.
Who pledged today? Mm-hmm. Today,
yep.
And we'll send it out. It's wow, that's tasty. Okay, good. You do the show. I'm just gonna sit here and eat rum balls.
Put one up
no, I have
nose.
To drive home after this. Wowie. Well, it is Christmas Eve. We'd like to thank all of, or as my daughter and I now call it, the Feast of the Contractions. We are...
Feast of the... Explain, Lucy.
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, Mary had a baby on Christmas Day, so Christmas Eve she must have been having contractions.
This is true.
There you go.
Very, very well said, yes.
Thank you. And so we'd like to thank you all for joining us. So here's our news...
We're going to start the show now?
Now we'll start the show. Oh, I had a rum ball. Shut up. Here we go. My veneer of civility is very thin to begin with. And now I've had a rum ball. Mozilla is getting closer to rolling out a faster, more responsive browser to all its users since introducing multi-process Firefox to a select few in August. So that went right to my tongue. That thing went right to my tongue. Soon, a much wider swath of users will be able to experience the performance gains that multi-process Firefox. Oh, God in heaven, I'm a cheap date. Mozilla says the new Firefox design is offering a 400% increase in responsiveness and a 700% improvement when web pages load. The multi-process version of Firefox operates similarly to the way that Google's Chrome browser already operates. The idea is that if you separate web content from the user interface, the program will be more stable and efficient. The problem with Firefox, however, is that its support for third-party extensions can complicate the rollout of multi-process. Chrome was designed from the ground up to be multi-process, so it doesn't have that problem. So Mozilla took it slow. When Firefox first debuted multi-process with Firefox 48, only a very small subset of users were able to use it. Mozilla said the test group quickly expanded to about 50% of the user base, including nearly every Firefox user who didn't have any extensions installed. Then for releases 49 and 50, Mozilla rolled out multi-process to users who had a select group of, and I quote, well-tested extensions installed. In version 51, which is set to roll out in January, Firefox plans to take the plunge and roll out multi-process to even more users. So if your Firefox stops working in January, move to Chrome. As long as you don't have any extensions installed that are explicitly marked as incompatible, multi-process should arrive on your PC. Why does this matter? Well, going this far is significant because it means that Mozilla is confident in the stability of its multi-process architecture. However, the Firefox maker still has a long road to hoe. Currently, multi-process architecture in Firefox means the browser has two processes instead of just one, a process for the browser UI and another for web content. Mozilla says future versions of Firefox will add more processes for web content, which should make the browser more capable. Currently, there are two web content processes in Firefox nightly builds. Mozilla's Asa Dotzler said in a blog post that the plan is to use nightly builds to evaluate the right number of processes to ultimately enable. Multiprocess isn't the only added feature coming soon. Mozilla's work on sandboxing, a security process that makes it harder for processes to interfere with each other, for Windows is also in full swing. It rolled out in Firefox 50, and as sandboxing improves, it will roll out to Mac and Linux versions of Firefox. Again, Chrome already has these, so those of you using Chrome don't have to worry. And so our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Firefox preps multitasking. And your choices are, finally, I'll wait until they get it right. Wait, who still uses Firefox? And I only browse using Linux. So far, we've got using Lynx. So far, we've got 29 votes. The vast majority of you think, wait, who still uses Firefox? I know you'll have more to say. So if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, the first link is the forums. And the second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one poll discussion is 24 December 16, Firefox preps multitasking. So far, we've got a half a dozen people, a half a dozen posts, five people, half a dozen posts. So join us there. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And I use both
the Chrome,
yeah,
and Firefox. I mean, it's just easier because I've got the dual screens.
Right,
Firefox is always over on my right hand side, and all my tabs are right there. That boom, that I can use just like Chrome.
Yep, I use Firefox for Facebook, yeah, and Chrome for everything else because Firefox has this super cookie. Facebook has this super cookie, mm-hmm, that lets them read data from everything you do on any tab anywhere.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't cross browsers.
Because Facebook has so many of these Facebook like buttons on so many websites.
Right.
They can read every other website, mm-hmm, that has one of those.
Right. So, consequently, I do only Facebook on the Firefox browser and everything else on Chrome. Because the heck with Firefox. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Chris from Gates, New York. What's up, Chris?
Well, I thought I'd call it early, guys, because I know that Christmas celebrations is probably going to kick in here in a little bit.
I already had a rumble.
Couple questions. I've been having issues with my Pavilion laptop ever since I upgraded to Windows 10, but what I discovered was my wireless Microsoft keyboard wasn't working. Is there a way that I can tell that other than... I mean, is there something showing on the keyboard here that I should be aware of that it's on or the batteries aren't working?
Well, there's one of there's a couple of things that it depends on the model keyboard you have. Some of them do have a light that says connected, and
okay.
if that light is not lit, then clearly
yeah,
not.
I'm not seeing any light.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the bottom. Again, it depends. There's like 2,000 models.
Okay.
So you look around the edges and look around the back and look around everywhere else and see if there's
okay.
anything about that. Some of them also have a battery indicator. One of the problems, of course, with wireless keyboards is they have to have batteries in them. And if the batteries are dead, well, then you can't get a signal.
Or in backwards. We've seen that a lot.
Or in backwards. So you have to change them periodically. A lot of people buy rechargeable batteries. For that, they keep one set in the charger at all times. They buy two sets, right? One set is in the charger at all times. The other set is in the... Actually, they buy three or four because if you've got a wireless mouse, it also uses a battery.
Yeah, I don't mind changing the batteries. It's just that I didn't even know. By chance,
right.
since I'm having trouble, I just went to the laptop and hit the enter button there. And, of course, then it worked. And it's like, oh, it must be my wireless keyboard.
So, a lot of times you can use the caps lock key. If the caps lock has a light that lights up, many keyboards do, then that will let you know that it's powered on.
Or the num lock.
Or the num lock. And a lot of the wireless control software should, they all should, many of them do, give you a warning when your batteries get low. So that it can at least
Is that warning going to be on the laptop? But if I'm having trouble with the laptop, then I'm not seeing it.
Well,
right.
You may have to go into your settings somewhere in the control panel under the keyboard setup, and turn notifications on. But it should put a notification in your system tray.
Also,
it may not. That model may not.
Right. Also on Windows 10, there's that thing where you swipe in from the right, and that little thing appears. That there's a gray box that appears?
Yeah, I haven't quite figured out Windows 10 yet. So
yeah, that has notifications in it as well.
Well, the issue is, with the laptop, I'm getting this every morning when I kind of come in because I leave it plugged in, smart hard drive error. Smart hard disk error.
Your hard drive is dying.
And I looked it up, and it's, imminent failure, this, that, and the other thing. I don't know what to do.
Up all your data.
It's a 2011 that I had to update to Windows 10.
Yeah, back up all your data and replace the drive as soon as you can.
That's Windows 10 error. That's a
hard drive error.
So it's not how old Windows 10 is. It's how old the actual laptop is.
And the hard drive is telling you it's going to die imminently.
My laptop is a 2011.
Okay, here's the deal. What that error means, as Steve said, is your hard drive is dying. Back up all your data today.
Yes, everything's backed up. I have it to Carbonite. I'm good. But I'm just wondering, if it's really that the laptop is on the way out.
Well, the hard drive is.
Yeah,
to whether the rest of the laptop is, I don't know.
Yeah, the rest of the machine could still be good. It's just a matter of moving everything before it dies. Matter of fact, back it up, get yourself another hard drive, and you can always copy the stuff, put the new hard drive in, put the, reload everything, and then just move the data back over to this new hard drive.
Great. Yeah. Now, I've had a couple of passports in the past. But I don't really get how to set that up. Do I have to set it up to the computer first? And I guess what's the easiest way to do that? I just kind of copied everything and then pulled it over. But I think there's a special way to actually set up that passport. But I'm not sure how to do that.
There's two ways.
That's why my mic wasn't up. There's two ways you can do it. The manual backup is just copy files that you want copied.
Right.
And then you
That's
have to
what I've been kind of doing.
Yeah, then you have to remember what you've copied and copy them again. And we'll go into the second method after the break.
Yeah, stay on the line, Chris. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Chris from Gates, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. It is Rumble Saturday on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we still have Chris from Gates on the line, and she wanted to. We're talking about smart hard disk errors.
And backup strategies. So the
right.
Sort of the common thing we see is just drag files to an external hard drive. Which is okay, but then you have to remember what you've got to drag. You got to remember to do it. So it's usually easier to set up an automatic backup program. Now, Windows comes with an automatic backup program that every day at 6 o'clock, it'll back up your files. We hear good things about the Windows backup program and very poor things about the Windows restore program.
Yeah.
So there's another program we've talked about here called Cobient backup.
Cobient. Well, she's already got Carbonite.
Backup. Carbonite.
Well, Carbonite is nice as an off-site backup.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your computer fails, then, and in your case, you got to replace your hard drive because the hard drive is dying.
Which we think that's what's happening.
You've got to reinstall Windows, then you reinstall your applications, then you reinstall Carbonite, then you download all your files from the internet. So that's a very long process.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have an off-site backup just in case, fire, flood, theft. But it's also nice to have a local backup on an external hard drive, which makes backing up your and makes restoring your data a lot faster. So you can use a Cobient backup or a Windows backup to have a local backup on your own hard drive.
Plus, if you wind up getting an external hard drive, say like a Western Digital drive.
Yeah, she said she's got passports. Well, Many of them come with their own backup program. And so you install that backup program and you set the schedule. So every day it backs up your data.
Yeah, do an incremental.
And then you don't have to remember. It does it for you.
It's Cobia.
Sounds good. The only thing I'm really interested in would be the iTunes, my music, and my photos is really the only thing that I have that I really, really would want. So probably the easiest way if I'm not doing anything is just to copy them over. My question is once I get this ready, though, for my PC, I'm going to go to a Mac. So will this passport then work on the Mac or as a hard drive, or is it going to be useless?
Yeah, it'll work on the Mac. It will read your data files off the Mac, off the hard drive, and then you can reformat it as a Mac drive and then use it for the Time Machine backup that comes built into the Mac as well.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for being there on Christmas Eve, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, a lot of people say they have backups. We run into that in our store all the time. I copied my documents, my important documents, six months ago to a flash drive. Okay, then you're going to lose everything you've done in the last 6 months, including the new grandbaby pictures.
Right.
So having an automatic backup that does it itself, you don't have to remember to think about it, is really good. And when you have to explain that to your spouse that you lost everything because you forgot to back it up yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, so we've said this in the past, while you're listening to the show, back up your hard drive.
Yeah. Or again, I always say, I never turn my machine off. I leave it on. I just turn off the monitors. And I schedule it at night.
Yep.
11 o'clock at night, it just automatically does it. And it's going up to the Google Cloud. So it's there.
Yep. And I'm the same way. I back up about 40 flipping times.
Until you actually lose valuable photos or documents, till you get stung that one time, you won't ever do it again.
That's right.
I guarantee it.
I spent 20 years as a systems administrator. Mm-hmm. And as I say to my students in class, system administrators cannot be paranoid enough.
No, can't.
You know, if you've only got 14 backups, you're going to need a 15th.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm very careful about what I back up. Anyway, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steven from Rochester, New York. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys.
You too.
Hey, I hope you can help me. I'm dealing with some basically old hardware. I got a couple old boxes, desktops, and they're like 10 years old. I got Pentium 4, Windows XP, but I've put Linux on both of them too, right? Now, I got They're both like used for refurbished. I bought cheap. I'm kind of poor, really. But anyways, this is the problem I'm having. I've tried to set up a network connection between the two so I could transfer files over. I use one like as a backup, you know, just in case. And I use a Cat F5E molded crossover cable. Now, I cannot get two Linux systems to connect on the network, although I can, using Samba, go to Windows XP back to Linux. And it works fine that way, or Windows to Windows, but I cannot figure out how to get a Linux network connected between two of these computers here on the desktop.
Well, the big problem is without having basically what's called a DHCP server, if you're using a crossover cable between the two devices, you have to manually set up IP addresses on each device on the same network layer. And it'd be much easier if you plug both those computers into your existing network and let the DHCP server hand them addresses.
Right. If you have, excuse me, are both of these computers on the internet?
Yes. No, I don't. I don't have any internet connection. I actually just this for graphic arts, for entertainment stuff, and for, you know, typing. I use a library if I need the internet.
Right. Okay. So here's the thing. If you have a computer, if you have two computers on your desktop,
right. They
need to be on the same network, which means they have to have similar IP addresses.
Right. I've tried stuff like that, similar IP addresses.
You generally want something in the 192.168.something.something range.
Okay.
So it's four numbers, right?
Right.
255.255.255.255, 0 to 255, so it's really 256 numbers.
Yeah, I think that's one of the options I've attempted to try, and it doesn't work. But let me finish. Samba going between a Windows and a Linux.
Yep.
I'm working with Debian.
Okay.
I got Fedora, Debian, and AV Linux. Debian, I love that system. I love that Linux Debian because you can get three IP, you know, you can get three ISO disk burned and you got everything, software and operating system right there without an internet connection.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Thank you. Once you have these systems set up so that they do talk to each other, and clearly you can talk to the Windows systems, to the Linux systems, but the Linux systems don't talk to each other.
Right.
The way you test this is you ping them.
Ping them, okay.
P-I-N-G.
Right.
There's a program in Linux called ping, and you say ping, space, and the IP address. Of the other computer.
All right.
The one you want to talk to, and it should start saying that it's pinged it, and if it doesn't do that, then you know that, in fact, you do not have a connection to the other machine.
So in addition to the IP address on each, so say one is 192.168.1.1, the other is 192.168.1.2, you also have to have the right subnet. And on both of them, it should be, for that range, 255.255.255.0. So you need the IP and the subnet to be correct for the numbers you're typing in.
Right. And if they cannot ping each other, then you have to go through all the setup, like Steve said. And the problem is because you don't have a DHCP server, because you don't have a router, because you're not connected to the internet, you have to do all this by hand.
Okay. I see.
Once you've got them set up correctly so that they ping each other, then it depends on what program you're using to read them. Now, let's say you're using Debian and you're using, GNOME or KDE. It doesn't matter. If you open up a window so that you can see files.
Okay. Yes.
And at the top of that window where it says, you know, where that window is, /home/whatever. If you put in there the IP address of the other machine, the theory is you'll see files there if it's set up correctly.
I see. All right.
And one of the reasons it works with Windows is that Windows has a protocol built in called NetBIOS, which publishes itself to the network and says, hi, here I am. Do you want my files? And with Linux, you have to do all that manually.
Right. So you want to make sure you've got the address correct, all the machines have to be on the same network, which means the same first three numbers. 190, and you want either 192.168. something, and it doesn't matter what that next thing is as long as they're all the same, or 10.0.0. something. But they have to be on the same one. So all of them have to be on 192.168, say, .1.something. And all those somethings have to be different. They have to be unique for each machine.
Oh,
then you have to have the net mask right, which is 255.255.255.0.
Right. Okay, I've tried so many different things, and I just can't get that to work.
But, yeah, that's,
you know, thanks for, you know, I like it set in the right direction. Thanks. Give me some clues here on what I need to do.
Yeah, and there are a couple of network places. Steve's going to put up a link to a thing we found at Ask Ubuntu, which probably will help you a lot. It's Ubuntu, but the stuff they're talking about works for every version of Linux because it's all low-level networking stuff.
Yeah.
And that'll be up in just a couple of minutes, and Steve will put that up, and we'll see where you can go from there. And let us know how that works out.
All right. Okay, thank you for some assistance here. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
good
happy
luck.
Holidays again.
You too. And let me tell you, this is kind of exciting. You're learning new stuff and trying new things. That's very cool, very cool.
Yeah, all right.
All right, happy holidays. Keep smiling.
I wonder if, well, it's always easy to say throw money at it, but, you know, find a used, you know, $20, $30 router, plug both computers into it, and let the DHCP server there hand out the addresses for him.
Right. Well, of course, if he set it up to be manually set up, then he's have to go back in.
Then
now
he has to unset it. Yeah.
Right. So he has to go back in and say now it's done by a DHCP server. But again, that's just, you know, pretty easy. And either way, it should eventually work out. It's just a matter of getting it to happen.
And we used to have to do all this manually all the time for every computer.
I remember those days well.
Yeah.
All right. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Happy, merry, everything, Christmas, New Year's. How are you guys?
Peachy, how are you?
Just doing,
oh,
Ducky.
I'm good. I just celebrated my 50th birthday.
Congratulations.
Yesterday. Thank you.
It's tough to be a Christmas baby, isn't it? It's tough to be a Christmas baby, to have a birthday right around Christmas, because you want to be set up separately. You want to have, particularly when you're a kid.
Right. I was taken care of very well this year.
Very good.
I had a big surprise, and my whole family showed up that I didn't expect. And,
oh, nice.
You know, being Italian, it's quite a big family, so.
There you go. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah, I had a very techie birthday this year. I got a Samsung Chromebook 3.
Nice.
And I got a Galaxy Tab 7-inch tablet.
Oh.
So I'm covered, you know.
Holy cow, are you adopting? Because I'm available.
Yeah, really.
Well, it was my 50th birthday, and I actually got the Chromebook on my own. The family went in, and everybody put money in. They got me a Best Buy gift card for like $150.
Nice. Cool.
And I happened to go to my godmother's house a few days before my birthday, and she needed help setting up boxes for her Time Warner and get them activated. And I helped her there, and she threw money my way, and I really didn't want it. She made me take it and gave me a guilt trip because, you know, it was my 50th birthday, and she hasn't done anything for me, and so I took it out of guilt. But that helped me buy the Chromebook with the, you know.
There you go. Well, Merry Christmas to you.
Exactly. Merry Christmas to you. And the Chromebook 3 should run Android apps when they come out, so you're ahead of the game.
As of spring.
It's wonderful. I really like it. You know, my wife goes, well, why do you want a Chromebook when you got a new tablet? I said, well, they kind of work very differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I said, I love doing email on the Chromebook. I said, it's so much easier than doing it in a tablet.
Ask her why she wants another pair of shoes when she already has 10 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, exactly. The big
and
then you can take your Chromebook out in the garage.
Yeah. Right, where you'll be sleeping for the next 6 months. No, the truth is that for many people, tablets work great for everything. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, we prefer typing.
if we're touch typists or fast typists of any sort, having a full real keyboard is so useful.
Especially
so
when you're doing emails. I'm sorry, right. Doing it on a laptop is a lot faster than on a tablet where you're sitting there doing one finger going all over the stupid place. Definitely a keyboard is definitely a lot better.
Yep.
Exactly. And I'm learning the little nuances of how to, change the search key into a cap lock and, you know.
Right.
And all those little things. And I love that now that I've got it, my whole Google account set in there, I don't have to go. I use that for my password manager. If I can't remember the password, I sign in there and there's my password. Show password. For everything, I signed in everything on it. So I had it all there. Cool. So if I can't remember it, it's there. So if you've got a Google account, get everything in there. And that way, if you don't have a password manager, you can find it right there.
Yep. It's kind of amazing. The convenience that Google has given us all, to keep all our information and all our stuff. Oh, listen, we got to take a quick break.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes. Stay on the line. Stay on the line and we'll get you after the commercial. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, Mark from Greece, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and it is Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Ho, ho, ho.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have Mark from Greece with his brand new Samsung Chromebook 3 on the line. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, the question I have for you is, you know the homepage that comes up when you go on the Chrome browser,
mm-hmm.
It has those little thumbnails, previous sites. Just curious, is there any way to turn those off, or do they have to be there?
Well, no, the easiest way to turn them off is to use some other page as your homepage.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the easiest way to do it. There's also an add-on called Currently. Hold on.
That's going to be tough to search for. Google, find me Current.
Yeah, right. I think it's called Currently. Currently 2.0 is the latest one. And what that does is when you go to a new page, what it does is it shows you the time and the weather for the next few days.
Okay.
And you can pick the background color and the font and the yada, yada, yada. But that's also another interesting choice. And there are a bunch of other things you can do as well. But I don't think you can get rid of the those little boxes, but you can replace the whole page.
Right. Yeah, because you can turn them off in the PC end.
Right.
You can get rid of them. But I didn't find a way to do it there, and I was just curious if there was a way. Not that they're horrible, just that I think they're just a pain in the neck.
Well, yes, or lower, you know? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So my suggestion is to replace that homepage. Take a look at Currently. Take a look, you know, or pick up your favorite webpage, you know, possibly AskNick.com or Soundbites.org.
Now, you said that was an extension?
I just posted it on our site, too. Yeah. It's in the Chrome Web Store.
Okay, it's in the Web Store. Okay, very good.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year, and we will talk to you then.
All the same to you, and definitely have fun with that new Chromebook.
Oh, I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. For the first time in a long time, I'm actually on the IRC chat. If you go to irc.dell.net and...
keep forgetting about that.
For the pound soundbites, Octothorpe soundbites. Not hashtag. It's not a hashtag. It's an Octothorpe.
Hmm.
You'll
but it's
be
got
there
nine quadrants.
It could be.
Just so it should be a nonathorpe.
And it should be a nonathorpe. That's right. that's a lovely question. Why is it called an octothorpe?
Because
it has eight
corners.
Not corners, but Vertices. Points.
8 points, yeah.
Right? So it has 8 thorns coming out of it. So it's an octothorn. I don't know. Anyway.
Sounds good.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. We're on there now. There's not much activity, but there are people there
I also realized the video stream has a chat as part of the video stream. So if,
there you go. Oh,
if
yeah.
you're watching us on the YouTube video stream.
That's one thing we should point. I had a couple of folks ask, you know, how to see us live on there. And Nick and I were talking about before. So for a few of you folks that were asking about that, because I know that you're listening, that if you go to our soundbites.org page, over in the right-hand side, I think there's a YouTube connection.
Yep. Watch us on our own YouTube channel.
You can click on that. It'll take you to a YouTube page. And if you really want to get, you know, frightened, you can see us live here in the studio. having all kinds of fun, and it might be scorching your eyes. Because we've always said, you know, we've got faces for radio. And that's usually where I keep it.
So true.
Yeah.
But we're there. And of course, Dave said, you can, as Dave said, you can get to all of that stuff from our homepage over on the right hand side under our longevity, which is how many years we've been on the air. 27 years, 3 months and 21 days.
Wow.
You're old.
Yeah.
Underneath that is.
No,
is,
I'm old. I'm older than dirt, as I've told you before, because I invented it.
I know.
Yep.
So underneath our longevity is Call Us, and it's a Saturday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it has the two phone numbers in red, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Underneath that is our texting number, 585-209-9010. That's really one-way communication. We can't text back, but, right. but we can yeah. see what you've, you've typed. There's also a link to listen live on Jazz 90.1. And at the bottom of that is under, or you can watch us on our very own YouTube channel. And that green link there will take you to the YouTube channel where you can subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the subscribe button. And then every week, assuming you're logged in to,
you'll get a notification.
When you subscribe.
Yep. Yeah, you'll get a notification that we've gone live. So if you're using your computer at the time, you'll see it. If not, you'll see it next time.
Well,
you use
and
your
a lot of people see it on their phones or you know, tablets or whatever, Chromebooks. So you'll be able to get that and watch us. I don't know how many people are on right now. It's a little light today. It is, after all, Christmas Eve.
Five.
There we go. One more just came on. So there are five. You know, there's it's Christmas Eve. A lot of people are watching, but we usually get a bunch of people during the week. Thank you to watch. So that's pretty cool. All right, we've got time for another call. We'll take Bill from Greece, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up? Bill, you there? Hello, Bill.
Oh,
nope,
Bill.
We have no Bill.
That's Don't
best,
I wish.
It's the best kind of Bill to have.
Yes. Come January, we're going to have a lot of them.
Bills will be January. We're going to try Bill again to see what happens. Are you there, Bill?
Oh, that's great not to have a Bill. I'll take that.
Yeah, right, exactly. What's up?
Happy holidays to you, and thank you for all you've done for us.
You too, and you're more than welcome. Thank you for listening.
I have an Android phone and an Android tablet.
Yep.
And I cannot seem to be able to play Vimeo videos.
Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O?
Vimeo, yeah. Vimeo is a video site.
Yeah.
And for some reason, and I can't find it. I've been all over the internet searching. I can't find any app. Some place that says you can't play Vimeo video on Android. And I wonder if you heard about that or if you know of the solution.
Vimeo has their own app for Android in the Google Play Store.
Oh. Is it listed like Vimeo?
Yep,
it's V-I-M-E-O.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, that'll do it.
There you go.
And enjoy your rumballs.
Thank you, we are.
Okay, bye-bye.
So they probably used to use Flash, which was very common for video.
Exactly.
Which doesn't work on tablets and phones. And is quickly not working on computers, too. The latest versions of Safari and Chrome already block Flash completely. Don't even tell the other end you have Flash. And Firefox is going to join suit shortly. If you really, really want it to, you can go into your settings and tell it to use Flash. But in most cases, you don't want to use Flash because there's so many exploits and holes.
Right. On and Chrome, so, one of the things you can do is set it up so that you see the hole where Chrome is, where Flash is supposed to be.
Yep.
And then if you right-click on it, you have the option to play it.
Right. And in most cases now, if when the, your browser tells the other end it doesn't say you have Flash, it will just send you HTML5 anyway, which is it usually better. We are seeing some game sites, the Pogo game site, a lot of people like playing, still requires you to actually have Flash. They have specific workarounds listed on their website, because if you're using, you know, any current browser, you get a message saying you need to install Flash. And so you do, then you go back to the website and it says you need to install Flash.
Yeah.
Because the browser is saying you don't have Flash because it doesn't want you to use Flash.
Right.
So you have to go into your browser settings and tell it to trust Flash.
Right.
Then you have to keep Flash up to date with all the good Flash update notices and ignore all the fake Flash update notices.
Right. And then you have to worry about whether or not there's an exploit out there that Adobe hasn't fixed yet, which happens all the time.
And there usually is. Yeah.
Just don't use Flash. It's so much easier. All right. Could we got time to at least take the question of, is it Judy?
Judd.
It's Judd from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Judd. What's up?
Yeah, you guys gave me a little start there.
Sorry.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. I've learned a lot from you guys over the years.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, I got a one of these super duper for Samsung. It's called a Luna, about 2 days ago. And I had an old Samsung. This one is, I got a couple questions. It's kind of weird. I don't understand this. This says, I've been trying to work with like customer service. They got me all screwed up. So I'm glad you're on. How do you stop the spam? I have an old Samsung phone.
You don't
get any spam. This new one just, I mean, it's unbelievable. So I don't know. I read all the things. I thought I'd call you guys and find out how to really do it.
All right. Look, what version? I mean, no, excuse me. I beg your pardon. What kind of spam are you getting? Are you getting it in email or are you getting it on websites or what?
No, it's on the email. It comes in on Yahoo. Like tons of it. But the old phone didn't have it. And I never had a spam filter on the old phone that I know of. And this new one, it just, wow. You get, you'll see like five messages, you know, and you look, it's like Progressive Insurance and you name it, you know.
Well,
How do you stop it?
In short, you cannot stop spam. Second issue is don't use Yahoo. They are full of spam to begin with. If you are getting legitimate spam messages from like a legitimate company like Progressive, there will be an unsubscribe button that you can unsubscribe from their mailing list. The fake spam messages, you know, cheap mortgage, cheap drugs, things like that, never click on any unsubscribe because that adds you to more mailing lists. The problem is the spam is coming from the other end and there's nothing you can do about it. You can install a spam filter. You must have had one on your previous machine, if you weren't getting a lot of the same spam. And the other problem now with Yahoo is in the last month, they have acknowledged 1.5 billion accounts, a billion with a B, 1.5 billion accounts have been hacked, passwords, email addresses, physical addresses have all been leaked to the bad guys. And so now there's even more Yahoo addresses, for sale on the black market to send spam to and send spam from. So it's Yahoo is an especially bad place for spam. Generally speaking, Google has one of the best spam filters on their Gmail service. Yeah, and so signing up for a Gmail account can do it.
If you don't check it now, some of your friends send you local messages and it puts it right into spam. So you got to check that.
Check your spam every now and then to see if a good message got in it. In the mail program you're using, there's typically a report as spam or mark as spam. When you're in your regular inbox, and then when you're in the spam folder, you can mark something as a legitimate message. One of the ways to make sure people don't get in your spam folder is to put them in your address book. So by default, the mail readers won't put people in your address book as spam.
My other question is, maybe this one's got to go back. I get a new one. The Google voice command won't work. It'll take your response and say, okay, Google, Twitch and everything, and you'll say, get me the Henrietta Library, and it'll come up, and every time, no matter what you tell it to do, it'll come back and say, check the connection, it's not working. So I reported to Google on, feedback button, but I don't know if I need a new phone or not. You got any suggestions?
That's a very good question. I'm going to have to think about that one. It doesn't work for anything, so you can't say, what time is it or what's the weather? You can't say any of that stuff.
Right. I asked it for Facebook and come back and said, no connection. Check with your connection and no response. The first part of it worked. that's the real important part. You ask to get the map of your house, nothing. It'll just say, check your connection. It's not working. I checked the Wi-Fi. I called customer service. They said, oh, you take the Wi-Fi off. But the data was, I said, oh, that's, connected. You just, this new phone's got a much better interactive capability. But the guy at the customer service even stymied. So I think maybe I got a bogey phone or something.
Well, okay, but first, is the error message currently unavailable on this device?
I never saw an error message come up.
Okay, it just doesn't work. Okay, so first, you've turned it on in the app, right?
Oh, yeah, we checked all that stuff. Yeah, it checked went in the data to see if the Wi-Fi was off, blah, 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 and...
No, you've turned on OK Google Detection. Specifically done that.
Oh, yeah.
In settings, voice, okay, Google Detection.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've checked the box that says always on or from any screen?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So you've done that. Wow.
I think I got a bad phone. I'm going to take it back.
It may be that there's, the other thing to make sure is you've got the latest version of the Google Voice app, right? Because it is possible that you have an older version that may not work well with that phone.
I see. Yeah.
The other thing you can do is retrain the voice. Right? In that same place where you change those settings, there's an opportunity to retrain the voice. And it says, say these questions and say these sentences, and then it learns your voice. It may not understand you.
I see. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. I'm sorry, I got a hard break. So we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. If you want to stay on the line, you can stay on the line. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. It's Rumball Saturday here at the show. And
I had to go have some other food to dilute the Rumballs.
Oh, please. The Rumballs are very good, but you do not want to eat them on an empty stomach. And I think one should be my limit. And I have to drive home in an hour. These are very, very good.
Oh, good. Glad you guys enjoy them.
Very good. We years ago, when I was working at a bank, I was sitting in with my boss and talking, and his wife had made little Christmas things that looked like this, but were not supposed to have alcohol in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there chatting. We're popping these things while we're talking. We sat there for about an hour, popped three or four of these, and all of a sudden, I went to get up to leave, and I couldn't stay. I said, you should call your wife. I think you got the wrong box. So he called her, and he did indeed have the wrong box. We both just sat in his office staring at each other for about the next 3 hours.
That's why the party that night was so dull.
Because I said to him, these taste like they have rum in them. She said, no. He said, no, not the ones I bring to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My dad always would make fudge at the holidays, and big thing I miss about him,
yeah,
his fudge. He'd always take a batch to work, and it was always funny as we got closer and closer to Christmas. He'd say, "The guys at work are getting anxious for their fudge. I better make it this weekend."
Yeah. Once you're known for something like that, well, yeah. You're stuck with this forever. Oh, yeah, somebody in the line. Is it still? No, we don't have anybody in the line.
He hung up.
He hung up. Was that Judd?
Must have finished his question.
All right. He must have figured out that what he needed to know, and that's the way that works. But, yeah, particularly when you get a new phone, you may need to spend some time teaching it what your voice sounds like, and you can do that inside the Google Voice app. And the reason you do that, of course, is because no two phones are alike, and their microphones are not alike or anything else. So you need to make it understand you. And particularly if you bought a phone on clearance or through eBay or something like that, it's probably got somebody else's voice profile in it. And so you want to retrain it to your voice. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. What's up, Andy?
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas to you.
And thank you for all of the time and effort you put into this, because it's very helpful and I truly enjoy listening to it.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
And
of course, you're a member of the station.
I have two questions for you today.
Okay.
I have SiriusXM in the car, and they have a digital app that you can go on your computer and bring it up and listen when you're in the house, so you don't have to have a separate radio receiver. I noticed that it won't play on Facebook, or on, not Facebook, on Firefox at all. It'll work on Chrome browser, but it won't work on Firefox. Is that related to the what you were talking about a few minutes ago, where Flash doesn't work on different browsers, or?
It could be. We're looking to see what player they use on their website.
Yeah, I don't have.
Well, they tell you to install it. You go through the install procedure, and it comes back and says,
not installed. Yeah, so
need to install it. And I know it just installed. So then I get off of Firefox, and I go to Chrome, and up it comes, and it plays just fine.
Yes. So that is related to that. Sirius does use Flash. So you have to go into the browser settings and tell it to trust Flash. And I'm trying to find a page on them on how to do that.
What's interesting is in their support forum, in Mozilla support forum, there's about 100 who've got this problem and no response from the Mozilla Corporation. So
many websites have already started putting up the Pogo website I mentioned earlier. They have instructions for each browser on how to tell that browser to let Flash work. And I don't see it on the Sirius website. So they haven't updated for the newest browsers that block Flash from running.
Flash, is this the little mini player?
Well, it can be a mini player. I mean, it starts out on the full screen, and you click mini player after you get where you want to be, and it just pops up into the corner. But it doesn't matter. Neither one of them works if you're in Firefox.
Why not just use VLC?
Well, yeah, you could use a different player for Sirius.
Yeah. Can you?
I don't know.
It's a Flash stream.
No, you can't. You got to use their app.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the issue is as Steve said. I believe it's that Flash issue, and you're going to have to go into Firefox and tell it it's okay. Now, are you going to their homepage, or are you running an app?
I go to their homepage
because
you have to log in,
right?
And then once you do that, you can click on, there's a button that says player.
Yep.
And you click on that and it comes up. And
why not just open up the Chrome browser, use that, and then minimize it?
Well,
that's what I would do. Yeah. And Chrome has Flash built into it. Yeah. So it doesn't need a outside Flash installed, but the current version of Chrome is also going to start blocking Flash content unless you tell the browser to trust.
Right.
I did find the Firefox site on how to trust apps how to trust the Flash plugin.
Firefox to only trust Flash on.
Well, you get a click to play just like in every, like I was saying earlier, it shows a hole where the player would be, and then you have to click on it to actually make it play.
Okay.
So it doesn't do. Now, do you have a PC or a Mac?
PC.
All right. There is a specific app for the PC.
Let me step back from that for just a second. I have a PC, but I also have a Chromebook, and it does the same thing on both.
All right, there is an app for Chrome.
Okay.
Under at play.google.com. If you look for Sirius XM, there is a player specifically for that. It works on your this is a Google Play, so this one is specifically for Android. So there's a specific player for Android.
Okay.
And now
which will be a Chromebook.
That will be a Chromebook next month. But let's see what Sirius.
Yeah, because to play the sound bites audio on my Chromebook today, I had to load another extension so it could handle the E3U files because Chrome couldn't play it off my Chromebook. So I had to go there and look for the E3U extension in the Chrome store, added it on, and boom, up it came.
I was just chalked it up the fact that Sirius really didn't want me listening when I wasn't in my car or on a radio I was paying them for every month. So,
yeah, well, that's probably part of it.
Yeah, but no, the thing of it is, though, is if you go on the web, and you've got to pay for that, too.
It's included in my subscription.
Oh, you got it?
I have the all access. So.
Yeah, and you can download the app to your phone, the yada, 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 the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I haven't done that just because I don't really want to chew up data. And yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi in the house, but it's just it's easier to get out the Chromebook and speakers are better.
Oh yeah,
and tell it to play or put it on the computer in the office.
No, I hear you.
It has Radio Shack speakers on it that are really good sounding.
Mm-hmm. Are you running Windows 10?
Yes.
They have a Windows 10 app.
Okay.
They have a Mac app, Windows 10 app, and Android app.
So you don't on the XM site?
Yep. Okay. So you don't necessarily need to use their website with Flash. You can use their app.
Okay.
There you go, Andy.
All right. Second question. Subscribing to YouTube channels, and this is going to sound really stupid, but does that cost anything?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
It can't. No, I take that back.
It depends.
There's YouTube and then there's YouTube Red.
Yeah.
And there are some channels on YouTube Red that you pay for.
Okay.
But YouTube channels themselves are indeed free.
Ah.
So you can subscribe to as many channels as you like. I subscribe to far more than I actually look at.
We all do.
And you can look at them whenever you want, obviously on any device, blah, 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 blah. But the basic idea is you're helping to support those people. Now, we're nowhere near, a million views for each thing we upload, but there are people who
we're getting close.
We're getting in the 60s.
28 years.
Yeah. But there are people who actually make their living as YouTube personalities. The number one is PewDiePie, who
50 million, was it?
50 million. Number two is Jenna Marbles, who's from Rochester, by the way. I know her mom, great lady. There's just a bunch of people like that out there who are making a living on YouTube videos by the number of subscribers, the number of people who go to their pages. Of course, Google is serving ads, and then you get a piece of those ads.
Okay, so they don't make the living by charging you as a subscriber. They make the living by getting advertising money.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I've got places that I go to regularly, and I always get angry when they haven't got a new one up. some pretty interesting stuff. I would check it out. There's lots and lots of channels on lots and lots of things. Some of them are horribly amateurish. Some of them are insanely professional. And so you just have to look around until you find what you like, and you can watch them anytime you want.
Yeah, I had seen the piano guys have their own channel.
Yep.
And they say, subscribe to us. And I'm thinking, okay, I like you guys, but I really don't want to have to take a bill for it. And so I can subscribe and not have to pay for it because they're very good.
Yeah, no, you can do that. Mm-hmm. The subscriptions are free.
Okay.
Unless you want one of the channels on YouTube Red.
Right.
And all you have to do is be careful just to not click the subscribe button on a YouTube Red channel.
You're good to go.
It's pretty, and of course, if you do, it'll come up and say, okay, you want to pay for this? And you just say no, and you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. All so, right. I follow a lot of a cappella groups. I follow a lot of weird invention groups.
If you like the piano guys, you might like two cellos. The number two are cellos. They're very similar, except they have two cellos. They've got some really great,
which makes them not that similar at all.
Well, yeah, they're two guys that play music.
Okay.
But they do parody, in addition to, you know, real music, they do parody, videos of popular music. And they did a great one of, AC/DC's, I think it was Thunderstruck, in 17th century period costume at, you know, like a Shakespeare play. And these two guys come out in their cellos and start playing Thunderstruck. And, and
nice.
they're really, really good. And the one guy, their bows are always, you know, frayed to bits by the end of the song. Mm-hmm. They must have to change their bow every song.
Yeah, really. Right. Sort of high strung.
Yep.
Yeah, a little. YouTube has a lot of good content on it. It's just a lot of interesting stuff. I'm finding there's a lot of the shows that originally were on, like the Learning Channel and Discovery Channel, are now popping up.
Yep.
On YouTube.
Yeah, Adam Savage has a couple of different things. He's got Tested, and he's got Adam's something. Adam's Cave, Adam's, I don't remember what it is.
And it's a way to earn money yourself instead of needing a studio to back you and pay you.
Right. Again, when you get a million views, then that stuff works.
And then when you get big enough, you hope a studio gives you a TV show.
Yeah, right.
So you go back and forth, yeah.
What one of my favorite channels, I have to talk about this because it just makes me laugh every time. There's a woman named Melinda Kathleen Reese who has a channel called Google Translate Sings. And what she does is she takes the lyrics to songs and then puts them through 15 or 20 languages in Google Translate and then back into English at the end and then sings whatever comes out.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
nice.
It's
that's got to be fun.
It's hysterical. Some of them are okay, some of them are okay.
Yeah.
Some of them are just hysterical. And she rarely fails to make me laugh.
We were
a whole new meaning to the term lost in translation.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
One of the movie channels I listen to, it might be Screen Junkies. They do bad lip reading of famous movie scenes, and it is hilarious seeing some of the things that and if you don't know how to lip read yourself, it looks really like they're saying these really stupid, crazy things.
Right. And if you're one of those people who has a child who couldn't stop watching Frozen for a certain amount of time, they do a Google Translate of Let It Go, which is pretty good. All right. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me and Francesco, and you 20 minutes after the hour. Sound bites on the Christmas Eve edition right here on Jazz 90.1.
Thank you, guys.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
And I do want to remind folks that tonight, from 8 to midnight, Rob Linton, our own station manager, will be here doing...
I'm sorry, that's Rob Linton.
There you go. Long time since you've done that one.
I know.
It's a long time. But he will be here, folks, like he does every year. And I think it's, what, his 14th year doing his Christmas show from 8 to midnight. So you don't want to miss that.
That's live here in the studio.
So you can, call him and, if he's got a particular tune on or that, give him a buzz. Who knows? He might throw that on. But he will be here live.
Just tell him how much you love Sound Bites and we asked you to call.
Yeah. And, just keep calling them. And keep calling them.
Keep calling them and keep calling them.
Keep calling them. We're going to text them. And text them.
And text them.
Yeah.
You don't warn people that you're going to play a prank on them.
He's not listening.
Well, he's not listening to us.
He's probably listening because he wants you to leave some rum balls.
They're on his desk. They're
on his desk.
Yeah.
He's got his rum balls there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's read some more news, shall we?
Why not?
Here's another. Well, it's that season. Tis the season.
Yeah.
cyber criminals are adding file encrypting features to traditional mobile banking trojans, creating hybrid threats that can steal sensitive information and lock user files at the same time. One such trojan is called Fake Token, and its primary functionality is to generate fake login screens for more than 2,000 financial applications in order to steal login credentials. The malicious app also displays phishing pages to steal credit card information, and it can read and send text messages. Fake Token's creators added the ability to encrypt user files stored on the phone's SD card sometime back in July, and have since released thousands of builds with this functionality. Once the relevant command is received, the Trojan compiles a list of files located on the device and encrypts them. The AES symmetric encryption algorithm is used, which means the user does have a chance of decrypting the files without paying a ransom. Fake Token masquerades as popular, but of course you should back up your files, even from your phone. There are apps like Lookout that will do that. Fake Token masquerades as popular apps and games, and once installed, it nags the user into giving the necessary permission through repeated prompts. It managed to infect more than 16,000 devices in 27 countries. A lot of them obviously overseas, but the United States is in that number. File encryption is not as popular as screen blocking techniques and mobile ransomware, because many of the files stored on mobile devices are backed up in cloud services and can be easily restored, which is what you should also be doing with your desktop and laptop files. By the way, researchers have recently analyzed another mobile banking Trojan called Tordo 2.0 that has the ability to encrypt files. Tordo 2.0 can make phone calls, control SMS messages, download and install programs, steal login credentials. The basic point here, folks, is that if you have stuff that's been installed from the official Google Play Store, you should be fine. But if you allow the installation of apps from unknown sources and have not turned that off, if you turned it on, it normally is off. But if you turn that on for any reason and then didn't turn it off, then you could have a problem. Even if you're on the Google Play Store, it's also a good idea to only download highly rated apps and to read the user reviews before you install them. You know, do your due diligence. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Lisa from Rochester, New York. What's up, Lisa?
Wow, that was quick. Thanks for answering my call so fast.
Sure.
I have a question about my Dell laptop. It's an Inspiron N7010, so it's about 6 or 7 years old. And when I buy a computer, I try to get the fastest processor and the most memory I can at the time, and so it'll last a few years.
Yeah.
And so this one I was able to update to Windows 10. But the one problem that I think I'm having is that the display adapter, the driver is not being updated anymore for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's even things simple like Lumosity falls out.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything I can do to speed things up on the display?
Here's the problem. When Microsoft comes out with a new version of Windows, they don't spend a lot of time on old hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And if the company doesn't spend a lot of time updating their hardware to Windows 10, you're out of luck. Now, you may be in luck because you're running a Dell. And if you go to Dell's website and put in the serial number,
mm-hmm.
It will give you a list of all the latest drivers. And if there's a...
That's a fail.
Then you're a little bit out of luck. And I'm sorry, Lisa. I don't know what to tell you.
You would just say get a new computer then.
Get a new computer.
Yeah.
Your old computer would make a great Linux or Chrome backup, something to play with and have fun with. But you probably can't run Windows 10 on it anymore, no.
Or okay. Turn it into a Chromebook.
Sorry, that's what I said, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Neverware is the program you want to do that with, or you could download a regular Linux distribution to install
on it. I'm sorry, what was the first one you said?
Neverware. There's a company called Neverware. They have a product called Cloud Ready. And it's basically a Chromebook. When you install it, your machine becomes a Chromebook.
Okay.
And it's about 99.9%. So for the average user, it's going to be a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do all the things you do with a Chromebook. It works just like a Chromebook. It updates like a Chromebook.
And not have to worry about viruses and spamware
and that stuff.
It's a real nice
product and gives you the opportunity. You've got this old thing. You can either throw it away or you can repurpose it and have fun with it.
Well, I'd like to hang on to it a little bit longer, so thanks for giving me some ideas.
There you go. There have you fun. Go.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And if you have a backup of your data, you could downgrade it back to Windows 7, which looks like is the last OS Dell officially supports on mm-hmm. the N7010. And then theoretically the websites might work again until they stop supporting Windows 7.
Oops.
Well, that's the problem. You've got, you know, when your machine is 6 or 7 years old, you're kind of, you've been abandoned, frankly,
mm-hmm. yeah.
by Microsoft. They don't care.
Yeah.
And so, you end up with, as Lisa did, you end up with drivers,
mm-hmm.
with a video card or some piece of hardware for which there are no longer drivers. Windows 10 just doesn't have drivers for it.
Yep.
So you can limp along in some things, but like she said, anything that's very cool, like Lumosity, you're done. You're done. So it's time to move on. And it'll be interesting, to see, Lisa, if you do put Cloud Ready on your, from Neverware on your, Inspiron. Let us know.
Yeah.
And let us know if Lumosity works on that because,
It'd be cool to hear.
It'd be cool to hear. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I love my Chromebook, as you know. It's my go-to machine now
I
when
love
I'm
mine.
Not sitting at my desktop. And, I do have an old, and I mean old, it's got to be 12, 13 years old now, this mm-hmm. laptop. Not this other one that I have that I put Cloud Ready on.
Okay.
Works great. It works great.
How much memory is in it?
It has 2 gig.
Oh.
It does. At the time, it
remember
was
remember when
very,
that was a lot.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. At the time, it was a very high end machine.
But it's sufficient for this.
But it's sufficient for this.
Yeah.
And in fact, Amelia's first laptop, her old original Mac,
mm-hmm.
Which is also about that old, I put Cloud Ready on it because it does have an Intel processor.
Right. Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so it runs great on that. The battery's still dead. I never did buy that new battery, but as long as I leave it plugged in, so what?
Yeah.
Right, so.
It's a portable laptop.
It's a non-portable.
A portable desktop.
With you a long right. extension cord.
Here, where you need to go right. and unplug it in again.
Right. So it's downstairs, so I can look up things on IMDb when I'm on that TV, so that's how that works. But, mm-hmm. We haven't talked about Cloud Ready in a while. You'll find it if you go back through our posts. You'll find Cloud Ready from Neverware. And it's basically a version. It turns your machine into a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an old machine that's done, like Lisa does, that's done as far as Windows goes, you're never going to be able to update it. You can download this and install it either from a DVD or a thumb drive. Use that old machine, turn it into essentially a Chromebook. I have found that it's very cool and it works very nicely. And I'm pretty pleased. So it's been a lot of fun, to play around with, and it works. It does everything. Oh dear. My headphones are now dead. Oh, that's nice.
I'm sorry to interrupt here. The caller wanted to know what version of Inspiron that woman had.
An N7010.
Okay, because he's looking up something, and this is JC from Altoona. And
Altoona, Jason!
Yeah, sometimes you may be able to go to the manufacturer of the video card and see if they have a driver, but generally with these name brand PCs, the name brand itself, Dell in this case, keeps the list of the drivers up to date.
Right, and you can put in your serial number.
Mm-hmm. And get your specific model. Yeah.
Get your specific
model. Well, and Dell, they've got the service tag. If you put the service tag
number. Right.
The service tag number in there, that will tell you everything that went into building that particular machine, along with the OS, the drivers, the processor, the memory. It gives you the whole laundry list.
Right.
That's what I always go by whenever I'm looking for the drivers for a Dell machine.
Well, Lisa said she did that, and they do not have a driver for Windows 10. And that's understandable.
No, I ran into that. Matter of fact, there's a number of them. I had one PC that I was trying to upgrade for somebody, and they said, I got Windows 10 to go on it. And then it crashed. So I, looked at it, and I was able to get Windows 7 back on, no problem. So I did a little research, and sure enough, Dell has a whole list of their laptops that even though Microsoft reports that they'll let them run, they won't.
Right.
So you know, you got to look at that list because, yeah, no, they won't work.
Right, right, right. And, you know, Windows 10 is not designed for older machines. That's part of their deal. They don't support old machines. And so it's too bad, but it is what it is. You know, that's the way that works.
One of the things that we run into a lot in our shop, and in fact, we're open until 3 today here for last-minute shopping ideas, is that people don't realize how old their computer is. Yeah, a lot of times we'll say, I just got it 4 years ago. I just got it.
Yep.
And so we say, you hear about dogs and cats, you know, you have to add 7 or multiply by 7 to get, you know, their equivalent human age. Well, computers, you have to multiply by about 10.
Yep.
So a 5-year-old computer is very old in computing terms. And, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old, you know, they may work fine. But you may not get to modern websites, the modern plugins, the modern drivers, you know, the fancy stuff that we take for granted now, you know, Facebook games and, you know, luminosity, you know, brain testing and things like that may not work on the older machine.
Right.
Because they weren't designed for that in mind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the people making websites today are designing for today's computers and using all the cool things today's computers can do.
Right. Yep. And you can like you said, you can extend the life of many machines by putting something like Cloud Ready on it or Linux on it. Even if you've got an old machine, I've got an old machine with 512 meg of RAM, and it's either got Puppy Linux or Damn Small Linux. I forget which one on it. And it's not great, but it works.
Yeah.
And so you can extend the life of your machines. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Gerd from Victor, New York. Hi, Gerd. How are you?
I'm excellent, and I want to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I hope everything goes well.
And all the same to you. What's up?
Thank you, sir. Every time I turn on my ThinkPad and I have 10 on there, this thing comes up, Run DLL. There's a problem starting /thinkpad/utilities/pwmtr64v.dll. Specified module could not be found. And I wonder what the hell that is. Every time it starts up.
Yep. That's the ThinkPad power management program.
Yep.
Meaning?
It controls where power is going, how power is managed, when to put the computer to sleep, when to hibernate it. We are seeing a lot of people running into that problem. And one of the things to do is reinstall from the
Well, the problem is the power management software is not compatible with Windows 10.
That could be, too.
According to Lenovo's support website,
okay,
that power management software is not compatible with Windows 10. So okay, the best thing to do is just uninstall it, uninstall the power manager, and let Windows 10 do the power management.
Oh, well, I'm glad I called.
There you go.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. See
you guys
too. Next year.
Yes, you will. Have fun.
You too.
Actually, we'll be here New Year's Eve. We'll be here
yes,
New Year's
Yes, we
Eve.
Will.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you... 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz, 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz, 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, it is the pre-Christmas Day, or as we call it, Christmas Eve edition of Soundbites.
You know, we were talking earlier before we went on the air.
I don't remember.
I know, CRS.
Exactly, Kraft.
Yeah. About, you were talking about your cats.
Yeah.
Because you have some love bites there, and I told you I'd
share, oh, yeah,
share a story. When I was growing up, you know, putting up the tree and all that, my mother would always tell my dad, you know, all right, because we used to get big trees. We'd go get it cut.
Yep.
And, you know, they were like 8-9 foot tall because we had tall ceilings back then. And every year, dad was instructed, you bring in the tree and you would anchor it up to
to
the corner. Because there was always a nail there, and he just had to hook up this wire and then tie it around there so the tree didn't fall over.
Right.
Reason being, my mother had some ornaments that my grandfather, as a hobby, used to blow glass.
Yeah.
And he made some Christmas ornaments, and they were very special to her. She was the only one that was allowed to put them on the tree and put them up there. So, we're in the midst.
This is going to end up being a doghouse story, isn't it?
So we went ahead and we put the tree up, and Mom kept telling Dad, Ken, put, you know, tie up the tree. Yeah, 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 I will. And she's starting to put on her ornaments. And, you know, we're going on, and it's dinner time. And Mom's still, Ken, you got it? Yeah, I will right after dinner. Okay. She was not happy. So we're sitting there eating dinner. Now, there were six of us, three on one side of the table, three on the other. My mom and Dad on either end of the table. And my mom could look into the living room. And we're sitting there having dinner. And all of a sudden, my one sister nudges me. She goes, look towards the living room. And we're starting to see this tree moving. And it's getting more. And we're both looking down. Because my two sisters had just acquired two new kittens.
Okay.
Yeah. And the kittens discovered the Christmas tree.
Yep.
And they wanted to go exploring. And they went up the tree. And here's these two little kittens wandering around this tree. And this tree's slowly swaying. We didn't dare say a word.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, so we just looked down. And my sister kept nudging me. I wanted to start laughing. Because all of a sudden the tree came crashing down. If looks could kill, my dad would have been 12 foot under.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because my mother just looked over at him, and he just looked down, didn't say a word. Got up from the table, tied the tree up, grabbed his coat, and off he went to get more ornaments.
Yep. We when we first moved into our house, we moved into the house on December 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, we will have Christmas at our house. Okay.
Yeah.
And we did. Well, we had the tree put up, and it's a 10-foot tall tree. We had 10-foot ceilings.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to cut a few inches off for the star at the top. But it was a 10-foot tall tree. Big, big tree. Took up half our living room. We got a big living room.
Oh, you're, yeah.
It filled out great. And we're sitting there. We all, my in-laws came over. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, her then-husband, my wife, and me, all sitting in chairs in a semicircle, looking at the tree and chatting and drinking and chatting. And all of a sudden, I realized, where's the cat?
Uh-oh.
And the next thing I know, the tree didn't fall, but leaned very gently over and sort of put its head on my mother-in-law's shoulder. And just sat there. We all thought, it just wants to be part of the family.
It feels at home.
So we stood it, but no ornaments broke. The cat was fine. Cat, in fact, left the tree, curled up in my mother-in-law's lap and went to sleep. So I put the tree back up, and I got up on the ladder to put it up, and I discovered there were already nails
up in the corner?
up in the corners on the lintels of the two doorways.
Oh, cool.
Specifically for this. And I only looked a couple of hours earlier, but it didn't. Ooh. It really didn't. Normally, like boom.
Mars
just leaned gently over and just laid its head on her shoulder, very sweetly.
I was getting dressed this morning, went into the closet to get a shirt, and I look up and there's a cat staring at me eye to eye from the top.
That would freak me out.
From the top shelf of the closet.
Yeah.
And so now, can our cat make a 8-foot vertical leap and 2-foot horizontal leap?
Yep.
Or did he climb up my clothes?
Yeah, climb. You might want to check your clothes.
Yeah, you check. As long as you don't have something that's supposed to be waterproof, you should be okay. The
talk about claw marks in that. Yeah. You know?
So yesterday we put up our tree, and the cats. Worst part for me was the cats were. Very interested in the sawing process. You know, you cut off that last little bit of that. Mm-hmm. I should have left it outside. I should have done it outside.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold and miserable, and I didn't feel like bundling up to do it. We brought the tree in. I did it in the house. But I got Amelia on cat duty, and we got the thing cut up, and it was fine. And we got it stood up, and the cat's very interested in it, but so far, knock on wood, as of the time I left us this morning, there was no climbing in it. But today, we'll put the ornaments on. And what we decided is we got a bunch of old ornaments, hand-blown ornaments, ornaments from our past. We're not putting any of those on this year. Elaine's got a bunch of plastic kitsch kind of ornaments that she used to put up at market.
Yep.
And we're just going to put the plastic ornaments on.
Play it safe. Play it safe with the new kittens.
We're not even going to put lights on this year.
Oh.
The cats are only, what? They were born in May, so
They're not even a year old.
7 months
yet.
Old?
Yeah.
But they already weigh, I think, about 140 pounds apiece. And they're all muscle. They're just big. They're big cats. And so we're not taking any chances. We're just going to, you know, fine.
Yeah, my two freaked out because, as I was telling you, I've been in that house since 2004. And this is the first year I've ever had a live Christmas tree in that house. Because before...
it's not live anymore.
Yeah. In honor of the birth of the Savior of the world, we ripped the lungs out of a living creature and put them in our living room.
Yeah.
Although one of our customers did bring us a Christmas tree for the store, alive in a pot, and you go plant it when you're done.
Nice!
Yeah, that's nice. But it's kind of cool having the smell of a real tree in the house and that. And I say I never had that in the house before, but the dogs...
Yeah.
Sitting there looking at it, you know, looking around and that.
Finally, we get an indoor bathroom.
Yeah. Sandy was trying to keep them away from the tree and that, you know, because they want to get right in there, sniff it underfoot and that. And it's like, what is this bright thing? Because, not used to it.
No, exactly. Yeah. And then when you take it away, they're going to be really angry. Watch. I'm serious.
Probably. You're probably right.
We've always had dogs. This is the Francesco thing is dogs, and the dogs are always slightly confused the first year. You know, by the third or fourth or fifth year, they're fine with it. Mm-hmm. But the first year, they're always a little confused as to why we brought this in the house. And then we have to be, particularly that first year, we have to be a little careful about we put down a plastic mat.
Okay.
Just in case.
It's plain safe.
It's plain and safe. And then, of course, we have to worry about, usually, Elaine, when the dogs get older and the cats are older and they don't care as much, then we put the plant food growing stuff in the water to keep the tree alive. But not this year because they're kittens now. We have new kittens.
So far, the dogs haven't gone to the, I did put the plant, you know, there's food you can feed it for the Christmas tree, and I put that in. But both my girls... Like I say, they're cautious.
Yep.
They're walking around and looking at it and keeping their distance so far. So,
yep.
Should be interesting.
Yep. And that's, we'll see. We'll see what happens with these with these new cats. And like I said, they're just big cats. I got to weigh them at some point, but they're big, heavy.
No, they look very healthy, though.
Well, they're very healthy. They're very solid cats.
From the pictures you posted. Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're just really big. Burly cat.
No, that's a breed.
I think they're part mountain lion. I'm pretty sure is the way that works. And so we'll see how they handle the tree. Mostly they like to climb us, so we'll see how that works. Normally we leave our tree up until May, but we may have to take it down early this year. We'll see how that goes.
Hmm.
We had a friend of my wife's, always keeps her Christmas trees and, you know, lets them dry out in the backyard. We went to I think it was a 4th of July party 1 year. And she had this like 30-foot fire pit that she dug. She was playing with her backhoe one day. We put the Christmas tree in it. It's been, you know, drying for 6 months now. Tossed a match at it. 30-foot flames come shooting up out of it, and it's a good thing we had a 30-foot fire pit.
Yeah. All right, that music tells me you've wasted 2 hours of your life with this nonsense. We're done, not for the year. We will be back here next Saturday at noon for the New Year's Eve edition of the show, and we want to thank everybody who called in. Want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. I also want to apologize to the folks on the IRC chat because clearly it's the connection was bad here today. But we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55. Oh, George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. Have a great time. We will see you in 166 hours.